Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Development really must be determined by our children's future, not by corporate profit.
That is Nonsle Mutumbu in her acceptance speech for the 2024 Goldman Prize. The prestigious environmental award is often called the Green Nobel. It went to Mutumbu and Sinagugu Zukulu. Together, they rallied their indigenous South African community to stop the Shell company from testing for offshore oil off the Wild Coast. That is a pristine swath of beaches in eastern South Africa. In the end, the activists won. A high court in the country ruled that the government and Shell had not adequately consulted with community leaders, nor did they consider the testing's impact to local livelihoods. And with us now is Sinagugu Zukulu and Nonsle Mutumbu. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you very much, Scott.
And Nonsle, welcome to you also.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Nonsle, if I can start with you, I understand this started at least 10 years ago when South Africa's government approved Shell's application to do seismic testing. This is testing to see if they could eventually drill for oil and gas offshore. And then the approval got renewed not long ago in 2021. And then the seismic testing, a lot of noise in the ocean, was going to start. When you heard that, what did you worry about as far as danger to the marine ecosystem?
When I heard about the seismic survey that is going to take place in the Wild Coast, in our ocean.
The Wild Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Wild Coast. My biggest worry was the degradation of environment. Because when we think of blasting, we think of somebody's bombing the ocean. It means that our lives will be cut off completely. And the connection between the human being and the nature also will be cut off. And our spiritual practice also will be cut off. There were so many things that we were worried that if this it goes ahead, our lives will be damaged completely.
And seismic testing, you know, as the word suggests, is blasting very loud noises into the ocean to try to map, right? Use this technology to map what's down there. Sinagugu, you helped to rally indigenous communities against this. And one important point I gather is the idea, the sacred idea, that your ancestors live in the sea and you can communicate with them. Can you help us understand that?
Yes, we have, as coastal communities of Mpondoland, as indigenous people in that part of the world, we believe that our most ancient ancestors reside in the ocean. When people pass on, part of the journey is for them to settle down on the ocean. It is something which is very sacred and very difficult to explain to somebody who's not familiar with our culture and religion. But it's not only about that, but it's also a source of livelihood and also lots of tourism, economic activities lining up our ocean. So there's a whole lot that's embedded within our oceans.
Mm. Sinagugu, I want to ask you what kind of resistance you had as you were pushing back. I've read South Africa's energy minister describe environmental activists as oppressing economic development. He's called activists, quote, apartheid and colonialism of a special type because, as he argues, it holds down job creation, holds down investors. What kind of opposition did you get and how did you push back on that?
Right. I think it is important to understand that we are representing masses of people who have said no to this proposal by government. But what was very much annoying to our community was the fact that government saw no need to consult. Our constitution and our laws in South Africa give us a right to be consulted for what is known as a public participation process. So we were looking into the future. What if then, after seismic exploration, oil is discovered? What does that mean for our ocean? What does it mean for the wildlife, for the environment? Our coastline is a migration route for whales and dolphins, which are great for not just for the marine ecosystem, but also for ecotourism development and all of that. But also, on a global scale, you have got a challenge of the increased emission from fossil fuels causing global warming, climate change, which again, the poor rural communities like ours are more vulnerable because they are dependent on the environment for their crops, for their livestock, and all of that.
And I guess speaking of the bigger picture, Nonsle, finally, if I can ask you, the two of you are awarded this prize. You're surely becoming more known among environmental activists. How do you talk about your case and its potential precedent for others?
It sets a precedent because when we take the shell to court, it was not just the winning people of the Wild Coast, but the entire world, they won because we are planning a future for the next generation.
Can you give us some specifics on your activism? What were the rallies like? Who came to those? How did you talk about what is being lost on the coast?
When we were mobilizing, amongst the other things we're doing, we're using a film, using cell phones to record some short films of people talking about the ocean. We're also using these very short films to talk about the stuff we know and what we hear from the marine biologists. We mobilize the entire coastline of South Africa for communities to go to the beach and march and protest. We were able to also to write to other NGOs. They gave us many aircrafts that would fly the entire coastline to record the activities and the protests. Mm-hmm. So this case was about people protecting the planet so that it remains livable for the future.
And as I hear you talk about it, Nonsle, was technology a central part of this campaign to get the word out? You're talking about making videos, perhaps to go viral, to show people the value of the coastline, videos from up high so that people perhaps far away could see. You leveraged technology. Yeah, your phones?
Yes. Our community is one of the very deep rural communities that it's difficult to access and understand what people are doing. And to use the phones and to make sure that our story has been heard globally. That was the best thing that we've done. And we know that this case of Shell, yes, we won in court, but also Shell is appealing this decision. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to still mobilize communities globally to make sure that no matter what the judgment is going to judge this appeal, but we hope that they're going to judge in favor of the planet.
And I guess the long-term question to you, Nonsle, is perhaps it'll win an appeal. I understand, perhaps if it doesn't win the appeal, another energy company could come in and purchase the lease and look for hydrocarbons off the coast. Is the larger question how to transition the demand for energy from everywhere, including for people in South Africa, for energy, because so many countries are still dependent on coal, dependent on extractive sources for their energy to charge their phones.
At this stage, the transition that has been put in place is not coming from the grassroots or from the communities. We need to see a transition where it's involving our indigenous knowledge because we the most vulnerable, we the most being affected. But when it comes to just transition, these indigenous communities are always being excluded on those kind of a new change. The change must come from below.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Nonsle Butumu and Sinagugu Zukulu. They're both winners of this year's Goldman Prize, the environmental prize, for their work challenging the Shell Oil Company and its seismic testing. Congratulations to both of you, and thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.